Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Coming up later on the show in the same vein as the previous conversation, we'll discuss the Sabres having a new home jersey patch partner.
I thought when
not just a home jersey
when you brought
patch.
Up how ornery you were to start the show, I thought of you when I saw the jersey patch tweet
partner.
From the Sabres.
Yes,
that I'll just leave it at that. I thought of you.
They're friends of ours. I got to be careful.
Don't
on that
be
one.
Don't be piling on here, Sabres. We did not today.
No,
not today.
Partner, though. We're not season ticket holders. We're season ticket members. Mm-hmm. And if we have the patch on the jersey, that makes us a partner. Cool. With us now on the West Her Hotline is Jeremy Kahn, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Always grateful for Jeremy's time. Jeremy, how's your summer going?
Good so far. Just got back from vacation. And then I'm headed right back out to vacation again. We're going up to... My wife and I go to a lot of concerts, so we'll be going to Minnesota and traveling around a little bit. So it started off nice.
Bulldog was on stage last night at a concert performing.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? You didn't get here for that one, Jeremy.
I didn't know where I could get tickets.
Little local outfit called Uncle Ben's Remedy kicked off a free concert series on one of the many greens in the area here on Bidwell Parkway. So I got to play a song with them, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. It was super fun.
Bulldog plays the zither. You don't often see that at these concerts.
But. Do you mind me asking who you? I won't judge you at all. I go to a lot of concerts too. Who are you going to see in Minnesota?
I see a ton of different stuff. Like I have Weird Al coming up, Jack Johnson,
right.
Mumford and Sons. I'm seeing Connor D and Nick Price are two young hip hop artists.
Right.
Who else are we seeing? Rush. I mean, like we're
well rounded.
We just
yeah.
go and see many, the Dirty Heads and MGK and all kinds of stuff. So
you throw Weird Al on a list, you've automatically got range.
Right.
Yes. You have to put it in there.
You do. And it's worthy, I would say. All right, Jeremy. Well, here we are again living parallel lives, the Bills and the Ravens, with coaching changes this offseason after, relatively speaking, disappointing seasons. What are the vibes like there with new management?
I mean, everybody's so we kind of feel like we're getting some of these how do you want to say it, shots taken at the old coaching staff to a degree, or is this just picking up the new staff? Because people are talking about how different things are, like you know, these coaches are a little bit more forward thinking, the different types of things that they like to do. You know, Jesse Minter to me, and even bringing in someone that ran Ben Johnson's system, this is this group here. I don't know how long we'll have them together, but I do think they have a really, really good coaching staff. And it seems like Lamar's happy, which obviously that's the most important thing here, I think. And maybe you guys would say the same thing up north with Josh. So I think he likes the group he has here. We'll just see if they can finally put it together. If last year wasn't the year for either Buffalo or Baltimore, it's like, please tell me when. Please.
Right. How much? One of the things that we even opened up our show today, talking somewhat about the new, I mean, it's a new coach, but he's a holdover on the offensive side, but it means a departure from the 9 years of Sean McDermott and Sean McDermott led defenses. And that is Jim Leonard, a former Raven and Bill too, for that matter, but it's a different scheme and it's more attack heavy and five man fronts and blitzes and whatever. And like, we're trying to figure out like how they're going to fit all these pieces together, because they're inheriting, you know, a pool of players that were playing one style. And so might be a little bit of a bumpy point of entry for a new coach. How is that going in Baltimore? Is there upheaval scheme wise with a new head coach too?
Yeah, I think there is. I think, look, there's a couple things that maybe you keep from the old group that was here, running schemes and whatnot. But you bring in a running game coordinator, coach from Atlanta, who has a different style. And Atlanta was leading at the top of the league in rushing yards. I mean, it does help to have Bijan and Algiers, but, you know, understanding that they did have a good running scheme. And then you bring in somebody that ran in Declan Doyle that was running Ben Johnson's offense. And the first thing they started talking about doing is changing different cadences and the calls and working out of the same set and showing different looks. And you love to see that. And then on the defensive side, I mean, all we can say is the Ravens traded Adafe Owe to the Chargers, and all he did was get $100-something million in the offseason because Jesse Minter just said, hey, go get the quarterback, and they put him in a position to succeed. So, yeah, I think we're feeling the same thing down here. It is very exciting, but, you know, that balloon could burst real quick if things don't go the way you want
right.
it to.
I suppose they can't just sort of trade for him back now that the coach has moved on. Can't just do that.
No.
So, Jeremy, you mentioned, you slipped in earlier, like Lamar Jackson is happy. How bad did it get? I mean, I'm such a fan of his that I might have a blind spot to some of the, I don't know if it's turmoil or what. I mean, of course, he had that contract thing in his past, and I don't know. But did it get to a point where, like, everybody kind of knew that coach and quarterback were not on the same page?
I think so. Like, I mean, I think I've come on your guys' show before. I'm not the biggest fan of John Harbaugh. I mean, I made that clear, and I've made that clear in town, so much so that when he said his goodbyes to everyone in town, our show was not one of them. But yeah, there were too many blown leads in the second half, and there were all kinds of people alluding to it. Some people that want to defend Harbaugh and stuff will say, yeah, he went to New York, but look at all the players that followed him, and you get guys that you're comfortable with and that you want to run your system. I can't wait to see how it works out in New York, but making Lamar happy is key and paramount here, because I think I've said it on your guys' show before as well. Like, he holds all the cards. You can't franchise him. He can sign and kind of situate whatever he wants to do. So, like, people are upset that he didn't sign a full-on extension or a brand-new contract, that is, instead of just re-upping for what he had this past year. And now he's waiting for Herbert to get paid and somebody else, and then he'll get even more than them when that comes. I just think he's a very savvy business guy, and that's how he runs things, and it makes fans uncomfortable, but I don't think he has a problem going to ownership now telling him what he wants and what he doesn't want.
If it's known, Jeremy, what was the cause of his, I don't know, unhappiness, I guess, and if it's not known, do you have a best guess?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think some of the failures of what's happened at the end of the year, we kind of got to the same point, and I don't know if you guys felt in Buffalo, where it's like, they keep losing in the same ways, and he keeps saying the same thing after game. So I don't know if there was a rift there, and maybe there wasn't even a rift, that it just got overblown, and people are just talking about it as it is. But, you know, the fact is that Harbaugh's not here. We didn't see that happening. Like, we all kept saying, yeah, they'll get rid of him. I mean, he's been here 18 years. So I don't know that there was one. It felt like there was, and clearly with the way he's been talking about the new coaching staff, he's kind of basically killed it with kindness with them, which, you know, takes some people, as I said earlier, and makes it look at, is he throwing some shade towards the old coaching staff?
We didn't get any sort of goodbye from Sean McDermott, actually, did we? He didn't come over. Bulldog.
No, I mean, there was something posted, but it was just the general. It
wasn't,
thank
like,
you.
He didn't come in the room.
No, and I recall him ticking off, listing off media outlets or anything.
No. Did Harbaugh do that, Jeremy? Did he sort of make the rounds when he was let go?
Oh, he went on, like, from every single, there's a handful of radio stations here sports-wise. We have two teams, and then we have a ton of podcasts that people are doing here that have blown up locally. Yeah. He went on every one of them. He didn't come on our station.
Interesting. Well, take that as a badge of honor, I would say. Not that you need
And one of my co-hosts is friends with him, too. So it's like,
oh, wow, okay. Well, it's yeah. It says a lot. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. It is a big change. I mean, Minter was in the organization previously. Whereas in Buffalo, Joe Brady had been, I don't know really what to do with it, Jeremy. Like, he was calling the plays, and now he's going to call the plays. Like, he has a better title, and he gets to decide whether they're going to punt, I suppose, although they have people for that now, too.
It's weird. From the outside looking in, it felt like it was just kind of disjointed with, who are they going with? They made a move, and then you're bringing back a guy that was already here and going in this direction. So when I looked at what Buffalo was doing, I was a little uncertain. I really liked what the Ravens did, because they went out, and I think they got a bunch of young, forward-thinking guys, and we'll see how it plays out.
Do you think Harbaugh is still there if Loop makes that last field goal?
Man, I don't know. I'd like to say yes, he is, because that's what's happened here every year. I'm not saying I'm happy Luton missed that field goal, but I'm not saying I'm not happy. I don't even know if I said that right. But no, like we don't know. Like everybody was questioning it, and when he was finally fired, it was like, oh my God. It's like finding out somebody's 90 years old and they died suddenly. Was it really suddenly? Like, you know, right. That's what it felt like there.
Yeah. And you know, if it means anything to that question, Mike Tomlin survives that game and makes the playoffs, and he's gone too. Like it's, they did make the playoffs and win the AFC North, and they still made the change in Pittsburgh.
So, adding all this up, like, is there how much of an appetite for, like, if not now, when is there with Lamar Jackson? I mean, we could ask the same question about Josh Allen in Buffalo, I suppose. But we're talking to you, and you're on our show, so I'm asking you about Lamar. Like, because fans, like, now it might be like there's no excuses anymore, right? The coach is gone. You got what you wanted. Now go do it.
Yeah, I mean, so at first it was like he doesn't have weapons, and then you go out and get weapons. And then, I mean, it does feel like some weird things have happened in the postseason, but you make of it what you can. I think that's what's going on with Lamar right now. It's like the last thing for you to do is win the whole damn thing, and you haven't done that yet. And until you do, people are still going to question you. Like, look, I know the Knicks just won the championship, but the people that are putting Jalen Brunson in, like, the top 10 of players in the league and everything else and top 10 historically, like, that stuff gets overblown in this ring infatuation, which we all do it. We all want to see him win. But, you know, we have two of the best quarterbacks in the league, and hopefully people can enjoy that ride, and hopefully it ends up in a championship for one or both. But I think that's going to be his biggest criticism until he finally gets it done.
It's also to be pointed out, I suppose, that neither guy or team have even made the championship round. I mean, that's the Bills and the Ravens here. I wonder what it would change if one of them did and then lost. You know, not that we're hoping for that, but I wonder, like, how much credit Allen or Jackson would get for making a Super Bowl if they didn't win it. You know, you have Mahomes with three and also two losses, right? He's been to five already, and he's 30 years old. So, I don't know. I mean, it's not – what can you say about it now, I guess? But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you go back and look at, like, even the Ravens' history, we're going to a point where it's like – you add Derrick Henry in. You lose to the Titans. He throws a touchdown pass against you in the postseason.
Right.
Then you go get him, and it's like, well, now they're not going to forget to run the football in the postseason. And in their first playoff game, you're like, they ran the ball 12 times. Derrick Henry got eight of those carries. It's like, how does that happen? And understanding that game flow can take certain things out, in none of those instances was that the case. So it gets really frustrating watching these teams, because every year you're coming in with this excitement. Like we've even said, what's a successful year for Minter in year one? Because everybody's expecting a Super Bowl, and it's a little unfair to him, but that's where you're at.
Same here. So, in your view, have they done enough weapon-wise? I mean, it's all familiar names, really, looking here. And really, one key departure Likely. Thank you. Isaiah Likely leaving to go follow the coach. He's one of the guys that followed Harbaugh to New York. But it's Bateman and Zay Flowers, a couple of kid receivers, second team. Yeah. What do you think of the skill group overall, Jeremy?
I think they're good. I think they have some interesting pieces there, but they're still waiting. Like Tez Walker, the kid they drafted out of North Carolina, all he does is catch touchdowns. The only problem is, I think, was he have six receptions or something? We haven't seen him out there. And then you draft two guys this year who people are familiar with because of the school that they go to, and they're two, like, totally different types of receivers. So we'll see how they use them. But in this system, they're going to go four wide more. So I hate saying it because I loved Isaiah Likely. Losing him and going more to the system you're going to see in place, losing a Pat Ricard who was just a road grader in the run game, but now you're going to a different style of offense. I think when you look at it defensively, a lot of things are going to change. I mean, you add in Trey Hendrickson, getting healthy and key at every single level, and allowing – I think the biggest thing for this defense is allowing Kyle Hamilton to be Kyle Hamilton, because he's probably the best player that nobody talks about in this league.
We talk about him if it means anything to you.
I love him. Yeah, as a player.
He's amazing, man.
So much so that I wanted Nick Emmanwiry in the draft year before last, because I thought he looked like a player that could be used like Kyle Hamilton, and Seattle got him, and that kind of happened. And by the way, for our audience, the receivers, third round, Jacoby Lane out of USC, and Elijah Serrett in the fourth round out of Indiana.
Bulldog,
new guys there.
Sorry to interrupt. Before you ask me, I will tell you, I'm drafting the hell out of Surratt.
Okay.
In fantasy. That guy.
He looked good.
He's exciting, I think. I don't know about the other one. Lane?
Yeah.
Not that excited about
Lane. Jacoby Lane has like a, he's a big body, big catch radius, where you're looking at Surratt, great route runner, good hands. And they really like the ability that Jacoby Lane can make these tough catches. But I think your better overall bet is Surratt, who he's just consistent, you know. So, again, those guys being added in, you're still bringing back Derrick Henry. You still have Mark Andrews here, and they drafted a couple of tight ends that they like a lot, too.
Do you feel good about Andrews at his age?
I think he's a good player. The problem is his biggest mistakes have come on the biggest stages. And going back to it, like, he had an amazing year, but all he's going to be remembered for is that 2-point conversion, you know, and the fumble in the middle of the field, which is sad because he's been way better than that. I still think he's very good. Like, if you were looking at Jason Witten towards the end of his career type numbers, maybe he's a guy that puts up, you know, more touchdowns and less yards and less receptions because they like to use him in the red zone. But I still think there's something left in the tank.
I like that point, too. I agree with that. He's 30. You know, I mean, maybe there's five more years out of more of a possession. Look at Kelsey, you know, I mean, Kelsey is still going. And speaking of fantasy, like last year or even prior to that, I mean, he's old. So I know he's been so good, but, and then he still finished what among tight ends last year? Way up there.
I know he's drafted in 18, so he can't be that old, but Andrews feels to me like, I would have guessed, if you guys just asked me, how old do you think Mark Andrews is? I would have guessed 35. Just because of the way people have been talking about him for a couple of seasons. Yeah. So it's kind of a little jarring to realize he's only 30 still.
I think he's a nice fantasy pick.
It's weird when you start hearing about guys like, oh, man, I don't know how much he has left in the tank. And you go look at it like, he's 31. Like, right. I'm 46 and I can't get up and down steps. I think these guys are in better shape than I am.
This right, just gets worse, Jeremy. This just gets worse.
Yeah, dude. what about the division here? I don't mean to skip away from the Ravens here, but our time's going to run out on us. What do you make of the Steelers, Bengals? I mean, do we need to talk about the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, look, I still think the Browns have an excellent roster and one of the best in the division, but until you get the guy that's going to be handing that ball off and throwing it, they're going to be in trouble. And I still think Deshaun Watson's going to win that job, and then they're going to eventually fade him out and see what they have with the youngsters, but maybe it's too late by then. With the other teams, I mean, look, Cincinnati to me can be scary, but they got to fix their defense, and I don't know if they've done enough. They did a bunch of – they made some moves this offseason to better themselves, which will be exciting, but – you know, they're running into that problem with paying two wide receivers number one money and having a quarterback getting paid the way he is. And when you look at the Steelers, it's all about Aaron Rodgers. I know he's coming back. What's he going to look like? He's looked fine, but he hasn't looked like Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think fine's going to get it done in this division. I still think the Ravens are the best team. I think the biggest threat would probably be Cincinnati. But honestly, I'm not fearful of them. The same way I think, you know, Buffalo's got to look at New England and see something there. I don't see that type of rival right now for this division.
One thing about the AFC North is they get the NFC South and the AFC South. So you look at those four teams' schedules, they all look pretty cushy. I mean, I saw the Bengals. Yeah, the Bengals are favored in 15 games, Jeremy. They only play 17. I mean, Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think they said the same thing about the Ravens. Like, they would be favored in it's something like 16 of 17 games, and I think maybe the Bengals game they split where Cincinnati be favored there and the Ravens would be favored at home.
Sounds
right. I know, like, the win total, 11.5, somewhere around there. Number seems just about right.
I bet, and Bulldog knows this, we love our bets and we love to lose because we're always trying to find plus money and big payouts. I bet an alt over on Cleveland last night. I'm not looking for credit. I'm not even looking for, you know, a handshake here. I just wanted to tell you. I bet over 7.5 on the Browns.
Thanks for sharing.
They do have good players. And, I mean, I'm always this way, Jeremy. You don't know this, but, like, the Jets, the Browns.
Browns
I'm a
and
sucker.
The Jets, yeah.
The Browns and the Jets every year. I'm
He's
a sucker for the Browns
there.
And the Jets.
Yep.
But, like, maybe, right? I mean, if Watson isn't terrible, I think I could see it. Yeah. And that just has – we don't know that, if that'll happen. Because by the time he stopped playing, it was really his shoulder more than it was all the allegations against him. It was more just physically he couldn't do it. Then he tore his Achilles, what, twice?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is that going
to
look like?
Well, let's take another zoom out. We went from the Ravens to the division. How about the conference? I guess really it's a question about what do you think of the Chiefs? Are they right back to their status after the weird year last year and the Mahomes injury, or are you a little TBD on them?
Yeah, no, I mean, I still think you can't overlook it. I mean, we're just talking about five Super Bowl appearances, and obviously he's the one that matters the most to be there. I mean, I think Andy Reid's an amazing coach, and they could have a successful team without him, but Pat Mahomes does a lot out there on the field. So I think, yeah, you start there with his health and can he come back, but also they've made some changes to that defense, trading away some players and trying to replace them, and even the same thing on offense. We just got to wait and see who gets arrested for Kansas City in the offseason to find out who they'll have when they're playing this year. But yeah, I think Buffalo, New England, Baltimore, they're right there. The most intriguing thing to me, like last year, Carolina was my intriguing team. I think the AFC South as a whole is going to be intriguing. Like I could see any team winning it except maybe Tennessee, and we'll see who shows up. But Houston, I got to figure out what's going on with C.J. Stroud. So the AFC South's kind of muddled. If Jacksonville can get back and good old Sunshine can play like he played last year, I think they might have a shot. So usually it's like five out, five in, or what that was, the old adage. I don't know that we're going to see that in the AFC side.
I am curious about that, too. I like Jacksonville a lot. We talked to Aaron Schatz recently, and he has Houston as his number one team in the AFC, which slowed me down a little bit.
Yeah, that kind of catches me off guard, but that's kind of like what I was thinking, is that if C.J. Stroud is half good, I think they bounce back.
Okay. You know? Buffalo at Houston week one. Tennessee, like the Jets, not only no night games, no 425s. How about that? There are two teams in the AFC who don't even get the 425 slot. They get two 405s, the Titans. The Chiefs have 4 1 o'clock games. The Titans have, what is it, 15?
Baltimore's got 11 1 o'clock games.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yes. We only have a weird schedule,
only
too.
Only four night games.
Not a ton of travel.
Right.
Outside of the Brazil game that they have, when they're, you know, they travel down to Brazil for that week two. That's the most travel that they'll have all year long, really. And then we finish the season with all of these divisional games, including two Steelers games in the last 4 weeks.
Right. They'll both end 18-15. Because that's how every Steelers-Ravens game goes. Including, by the way, one of those 1 o'clock games will be here in week 8. Buffalo at Baltimore. Rather, Baltimore at Buffalo.
My schedule can come on, guys, if that's okay. I'll just pick the time out now.
Yeah, please.
I'll be there.
Yeah, block it out. We're good.
Come on up. At Buffalo.
No, man, okay. One of these times I have to make it up there. We did stop off in Buffalo on our trip to a place called Elmo's and got some wings because it was kind of on the way.
All right.
But, yeah, my wife and I like to travel, so we're trying to see some new cities.
All we need is Weird Al. Then we got you.
Yeah, I'm in. Get that accordion out and we're ready to roll.
Or almost anybody. That was a pretty good list earlier. Thank you for
we saw the Lumineers in Ireland. We just went to Mexico and saw like Noah Kahn and Mumford. And so that's the one thing we do now later in life is we just travel and see concerts.
My family, we're all big fans of a band called Wilco that I just went to see in Chautauqua. And my family's going next weekend. They have a festival every other year in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. And they're all going to that, but I can't go. I just found out that Wilco is for the first time ever going to Africa. They're going to play in Africa. And there's tour packages and all this stuff. And my wife has been wanting to go to Africa, but I do not think under the guise of a trip to see Wilco that that's going to fly.
Not enough?
I don't know. She's got a different Africa trip in mind.
Safari,
right.
And they're like, oh my God, Wilco's playing here.
Right.
We should probably head over there and see him. It's perfect timing.
Right. Will it help if they cover Africa? Yeah. That would help me. But I don't think that's what you want to do there. That song is
not
exactly.
On this trip, we were supposed to see the Avett Brothers in Saratoga, but they canceled.
Oh,
so that was supposed to be the back end of our trip.
That's a great spot, right?
Yep.
All right, Jeremy. Thanks a lot for your time, as always. Maybe we'll talk again before the season starts.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
Thank you. Jeremy Kahn, 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore. You need a receipt on that Browns bet? I got it. Why wouldn't you believe me?
I have no – why would someone make that up?
I know, exactly. Yeah. Why would someone make that up?
Speaking of things that are not made up, the Sabres have made a trade. They've announced it themselves. These aren't just reportedlies from Elliot Friedman. Although
– 1-10, how big?
There might have been. Oh, you didn't look – okay, yeah.
No, I'm looking at the Browns schedule.
Okay, all right, well, we should get it out quickly because I don't want to –
all right, 1-10, how big?
Two.
Okay, go ahead.
Kesselring to San Jose – along with the Sabres' first-round pick, which was 27, I think, and they get 20 back. That's the trade.
They moved up seven spots?
They moved up seven spots and threw in Kesselring.
Oh, boy, they must have been completely out.
Yeah.
What's the difference between 20 and 27?
Good question.
You don't have to pay them now or play them.
Right.
Wow. What? I mean, that's just
that's a dump.
What a dump.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it more next. 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.